QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Axios Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1901. A little late this evening, local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours or thereabouts, conditions permitting. And before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KO6Q. Hearing none, are there any announcements for the net? Please call KO6Q. All right, one announcement that we have here as we get closer to the end of February. As a reminder, the last Sunday of the month at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, we will be doing ham testing. So if you're ready to take a tech test or you know somebody who is, or if you want to do that upgrade, just drop on by or give me an email. Let me know you're coming at kf6q at arrl.net. And that'll be at 1 o'clock at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station. All right. All right, KF6Q here on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. And our topic for this evening, we're going to discuss amplifiers, power amps for radio and otherwise, and see how that helps. What it does, what you get for what you buy. So, meantime there, WB6CLZ, are you out there?
KF6Q with the Tech Tuesday Group. This is WB6CLZ, reading up on amplifiers.
Okay, roger that. Well, Mike, I'm going to go ahead and do a roster here that we have. So, we got you checked in here, Mike, and WB6CIN. Cindy, are you out there?
Yes, I am, Tom, and I'm looking forward to tonight's topic. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy, glad to have you out there. How about KA6CIA? George, you out there?
Good evening, Tom, and the group out there, KA6CIA, listening.
Hey, George, glad to have you listening out there. Don't know if he's on Echolink. We'll give a quick call out there for KE6RJ and KE6QI, Area Nancy. Are you on Echolink this evening? Hearing none there. And let's see if Alan's out there. KJ6FEX, Alan and Corona, are you out there this evening? And nothing heard. How about AF6DJ, the zebra jockey, Guy in Rosamond?
Isn't that accounted for, fellow sodbuster? Back to you.
Roger that. Busting up them thoughts, yes. How about KI6SKN, Chris? Are you out there this evening? Alrighty, nothing heard. How about KJ6HCS, Mike in Fonskin?
This is KJ6HCS, can't wait to hear about the amps.
Okay, roger that, got a little background noise I think out there. How about KJ6FIL, Mike in Redmond?
Good evening, everybody. KJ6FIL.
All righty, Mike. Coming in loud and clear, hitting the repeater real good this evening. And KG6LEF John in San Bernardino, are you out there this evening? Alrighty, nothing heard. How about KJ6KDL and KDK, Jim and Rosemary in Sugarloaf?
This is KJ6KDK in Sugarloaf. Not sure if Jim is by his radio or not.
Okay, roger that. Maybe he'll come back in a little bit. How about W6MRK? Are you on EchoLink from Antigua, Mark? And nothing heard there. How about KJ6DBQ, Peggy?
Good evening, Tom and everyone. I'm here, KJ6.
All right, Peggy. Glad to have you out there. About KI6IQA, Kelly. He must be out there rescuing somebody. We'll have to nickname him Rescue Kelly. how about K6JBL Ron in Green Valley? And nothing heard. How about AD6PL Harold? Well, this has got to be a first. I haven't heard Harold out there. KJ6RAY. Ray, are you out there? And nothing heard. Alrighty. W6AWL, Art in Sun City, are you out there? And nothing heard. How about KI6OHN, John, Big Bear? Alrighty, down the list here a little bit. KI6MAM Bill and Landers. Nothing heard. How about WA6ARC Steve? And nothing heard. W6KBC Gary. I probably had another hard day out there in the forest. KD6LAN, Bill, Polar Bay. And nothing heard. Moving on down the list here. How about KJ6BCK, Adam and Garden Grove? And nothing heard. AE6. CKV Victor, Santa Fe Springs. And I've been heard. KE6VHM Frank in Irwin Lake. And nothing heard. KA6ROD Rod. And nothing heard. KJ6DBS Leon and Arrow Bear. Okay, Leon, got you in there. Seems to be having a lot of background in there for something. KB6LTY, Christy.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KB6LTY.
Right, Christy, glad to have you out there. How about AE6TV, Hans? All right, nothing heard. How about NQ7RD, Rick from Corona?
NQ7RD, good evening to one and all on the net, on a 1985 HD. I'll be monitoring.
Okay, Rick, glad to have you out there. How about KJ6EUZ, John, also in Corona? Alrighty, let's see here. We have a KE6BHM, Frank, in Woodcrest.
Hey,
Sonar 6 DM.
Okay, station, come back. Alrighty, if you don't have your PL set at 131.8, you won't hold the repeater, so got to get that set. How about WB6 WCO TED? And nothing heard. KJ6 LJF and Arrowhead there. Okay, Bill, glad to have you out there. Got a copy on that. KJ6 GGQ George in Wake Arrowhead. Nothing heard. KJ6 BNW. I believe that's Brian. And nothing heard. KJ6 MGH Earl. And nothing heard. And that pretty much concludes the list as I have it here. Any other guests would like to check in? Please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6KDL checking in Little Lake Mobile.
Hey, Jim. Glad to hear you out there. Another long day at the office?
Absolutely. If you hear any beeping in the background, that's all my server alerts.
Okay, well, I guess that's not a good thing. All right. Well, glad you're out there, Jim. Anybody else out there would like to check in? Please come back. All right. Nothing heard there. I think that'll conclude it. Mike, WB6CLZ. Anything interesting happening out there? I think you said we talked earlier, some kind of solar flare that messed everything up. What's happening out there with the sunspot solar flares and DX? Oh, my. Back to you, Mike, KF6Q.
Very interesting stuff going on. Not the best thing for our HF bands. Mostly you turn around the bands, and unless you're really lucky to hear a signal, you're hearing nothing but sun noise and static. So right now it just so happens that we just had an X-class solar flare, which is a pretty strong solar flare. It was a 2 on the scale, an X2. According to Space Weather. According to them, that's the strongest flare that we've experienced in about 4 years. So kind of interesting. Hopefully when that clears up, though, conditions are going to be really, really nice. We've got about 90 sunspots now, which is the most we've had in quite some time, too. So hopefully that ionosphere will get charged up, and we'll be able to get 10 meters going. It works really interesting, DX. Speaking of that, the only thing been going on around here is 17 meters was kind of good on Sunday morning. Around 7:30, I worked PA3GSU. Near Amsterdam, and pretty good signals. He was giving me a 5x7, and he was about a 5x6 by my scale here. And that is about all that's been going on with DX right now. We just hope the bands get better, and we can take advantage of the ionization these sunspots are going to give us. Back to net control, KF6Q, WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, so I guess when the effects of that solar flare fade away, all the sunspots will probably help us. I guess so. It's just a matter of waiting that out, and should have some stuff coming up. Is that a good assumption?
I think that's what we're all hoping for. Of course, you know, the sun is really active right now, so you never know if we're going to get another flare or what's really going to happen. But that's what we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Okay, Mike. Well, we got some good information here. I think if we're all out here on ham radio, we've heard at one time or another about power amps, and that would be something, of course, to boost your signal up a little bit. Of course, there are limitations on how much power you can run, and it does vary on some of the bands. And we're going to say basically, I think what we limited to about 1.5 K kilowatts PEP, unless there's other specifications, like I think on the 60-meter band, I think there's difference there in some of the other bands. As you get closer to the borders, Canadian border, I believe. Anyway, and then sometimes, of course, that's not even practical on some of the microwave bands. It becomes very, very difficult. So, anyway, Mike, what have you ever had a power amp? Do you have a power amp, or are you just running as a, what do they call that, barefoot? Or wait a minute, I'm sorry, that's a CB term. Back to you.
That's ham terms, too. We're okay. We can use that. Yeah, we run barefoot here. Usually the most we ever run is 100 watts on HF, and, you know, we can squeeze out 10 watts, usually 5 watts on VHF. So, yeah, we don't do power amplifiers here. In the past, I've had one for 2 meters and 2 meter sideband when I used to play that, but they're all long gone, and we just do what we can with less power. Our favorite thing is QRP, which is 10 watts or less, and preferably 5 watts, but it all depends on conditions.
Okay, Roger that. Kind of switched radios here just for a second. I had to grab my glasses from downstairs. Well, that's pretty good. So you're basically running stock. Now, let's look at this before. We have a couple of different kinds of amps, and, of course, depends on how they're designed and what they're going to do and all that good stuff. We'll get into that in a little bit. What's the power amp going to – how's that going to help me out? Let's say I'm running on the HF bands. I've got 100 watts, but – you know, I seem to be getting out, but not as well as everybody else.
That will increase how you sound to people on the other end, and especially like in DX pileups, give you more dBs, what we call, and a little more kick to your signal.
Here I am, back on the other radio. Okay, well, one thing is we know, let's say, you know, it's going to boost our signal out there, and let's say I've got a 100-watt amp coming out of my radio's 100 watts, and I go out and I plunk down a chunk of change and get an Amatron that's going to kick it up to 800. Now, that's 8 times as much. So am I going to talk 8 times further away? How's that work?
No, I don't think so. I think that's only going to add, I believe, and I know you're going to correct me because this is not my field of expertise. I think about 6 dBs or, I'm sorry, about 3 S units. Is that correct or are we in the ballpark?
Well, you're correct, sort of. Okay, and let's straighten this all out. Okay, as we measure power, one way of measuring it is the ratio of change. So we're talking about going 8 times. Well, if you double something, you're going to end up with, that's the log of that is 3. Actually, the 10 times the log, because that's the dB, not in bells. So if I got everybody confused, I hope not. Anyway, so if you double your power, 100 watts to 200 watts, you've got a 3 dB gain. All right, if you 4 times your power, you're up to 400 watts from 100, you have now gone 4 times, that's 6 dB. 6 dB is 1 S unit, and 1 S unit is not a lot. Mike, what would you say about 1 S unit of increase?
I would say that's not a lot, unless you're right down at the noise level and it's just enough to get you over that little hump.
Well, exactly, and that's just it. It sounds like, well, you're going to get it really out there, and, of course, all this information is in the Radio Amateur's handbook. We're not pulling this out of the air. So if you jump from 100 watts stock, say, HF radio up to 400, you got an amp that's 400 watts. You know, that's only going to make 1 S unit difference on the receiving end out there. So if we go to 800, that's twice as much as that, but that's still, what would that amount to? This is not complex math, but I'm thinking, you know, we're going to be what, maybe 1.5 S units, something like that, maybe, if that. KF6Q and the Big Bear Tech Tuesday group here. Back to you, Mike.
I stepped on you again because I thought you were handing it over to me asking a question. Yeah, go for that again, Tom.
Oh, no, I was handing it over to you, and I just ID'd our tech net here. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Leave some break. Count. Breathe in and breathe out. And then keep Mike. Back to you, Mike.
As I said, you know, 2S units would be a real push on that. So, yeah, probably an S unit and a half if you're lucky. And like I say, that's just when you're in a marginal situation. It'll get you to where you can be heard.
Question. Yeah, question. 1 second. Now, okay, times four is, is 6 dB. That's 1S unit. So to get 2S units, you got to be times 4 again. You have to be 16 times the power. You'd have to go from 100 watts well over your legal limit simply to get an increase of 2S units. Anyway, got a question out there. Go ahead, question.
I realize that every radio and every display is different, but on the bars, like, let's say, for instance, on the handheld and on some mobile rigs, the bars that go across, what are those bars measuring S units or signal strength or what? KD6LAN asking that.
Okay, Bill, KD6LAN, late check in there. If you look real close at your little bar graph, and I mean real close, so I have to get a magnifying glass out. There's actually, on a lot of them, it'll say like S5, S3, S9, and things like that. And that is a semi-calibrated scale. It could vary a little bit, but it's, I'm saying it's semi-accurate. It's accurate enough to get a pretty good idea of what's going on out there. And, it's based on the front end of the receiver and all that. But pretty much, if you're talking to somebody way out there and he can't hear you, you might be in the noise. And that one S unit or even a half an S unit will get you above the noise. So it's not the power amps are bad. It's just that it's not giving you as much bang for the buck as you might think. I don't know if that helps, Bill. Back to you, Bill.
Okay, I understand. So what I'm understanding is if I'm copying you off the repeater at 6 bars or 6 S units, and when I'm talking to you or transmitting to you through the repeater, I'm transmitting at 7 S units, if I'm reading the bars correct. Do I understand that right?
A lot of your HDs, when you're transmitting the meter, and a lot of radios are set up like this, when you're transmitting, they reflect more of your power out. Like if you cut your power back on your radio, you'll notice that when you transmit, that bar is not going up as far. It's a power meter, and it's only just a relative power meter there. But on the receive end, when you're receiving, of course, what you're receiving is the transmitter from the repeater. So, it depends how you are receiving the repeater itself. You could be down in Apple Valley, and you might be getting an S5 or an S3. What you're hearing is the repeater, of course, not the person's signal going into the repeater. And really the only way to judge the person's signal going in the repeater would be, of course, to go to the input, or just judge by the quality of their signal. So a lot of the S unit stuff we're talking about in amps are basically directed around the HF work on the HF band. So does that help at all?
thank you very much. I know it's going to transpose differently on HF, but basically it gives me an idea of what I'm listening to or what I'm hearing from you as far as the S meter goes. Thank you. KD6LAN.
Okay, roger that. YNW, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. K6YNW here. You're right. Let's say you have a 10-element beam. To get 3 more dB, you need 10 more elements. So in either a beam or an amplifier, you get the bang for the first few multiplications, but after that, it gets exponential. K6YNW.
Exactly, and this is another thing about stacking Yagis or beams. Like you say, let's say you're going to do moon bounce or something really cool like that. So you have a couple of 10-element beams for 2-meter moon bounce. And you get two, that's going to be twice the signal of one, very apparent. But to get better than that, and we're going to say just in terms of S units, to get up to that full S unit, you got to get two more. So you have four times the antennas to get relatively just four times the power. You start doubling that again, you've got this huge, massive array, which they use. And I've seen pictures. I don't want it in my backyard, but I've seen pictures. So anyway, pretty awesome, though. Mike, or anybody else out there, any questions or comments, please come back on that.
LTY.
Yeah, Christy, go ahead.
Thank you, Tom, KB6LTY. Yeah, I guess my question, I've got numerous questions, but one of my questions is, let's say, for instance, that Amatron 800 or even one that will up your power to 400 watts, what is the power input required for that? What kind of a power supply or power input would you have to supply outside of what you're already supplying to, say, your 100-watt radio? And that's just one of the questions. Thank you, KB6LTY.
All right, well, let's take that first step there of basically input power, and we have to get into the efficiency of the amp, and we're gonna shoot from the hip to say 50%, but it's probably a little bit better than that. But let's say if you've got if you have a 100-watt radio, it's probably gonna take 200 watts of power to generate that, and that's a shot from the hip. You know, it will vary as the efficiency of the amp is. So a 400-watt amp is going to take by itself 800 watts to power it. So if you're powering that with, say, a 12-volt supply, you're going to have some pretty hefty current going that thing. So unless it's got its own internal. And this is just the point, is now it's starting to get a little expensive to talk on ham radio. And you're actually putting out, you get closer to 1,500 watts. An 800-watt amp is going to take about 1,600 watts to power it. If anybody's ever seen a meter spin with a 1.5 kilowatt heater on, it's not great. Does that help a little bit without getting actually into the numbers, Christy?
Tom, that helps. So I was just curious. We've got a power supply. And I think for our radio, for 100 watt, it takes 20 amp continuous. So, and that's 13.8 volts, and that reasons out to about 300. And they specs are like you say, it's twice. So yeah, that helps out, and I'm gonna have to get a bigger power supply. Anyway, thank you, KB6LTY.
Yeah, right. And depending on the efficiency and all that, you could shoot from the hip and say 50%. So if you've got a 100-watt radio or a 50-watt mobile radio, it's going to take about 100 watts of power. Well, at 12 volts, that's about 8 amps. Now, plus or minus, might be 7, might be 7.5, or something like that. But that's the shot from the hip. Now, that's not too bad there, but we start getting up into the very high-powered areas. You're getting some serious radio, and you're going to be having some serious electrical stuff you're dealing with there, as power supplies themselves are not cheap. Anybody else out there with any comments on that individual part right there? Please come back.
Related, K6YNW.
Yeah, go ahead, K6YNW.
Yep, I know Abbott DX there. I'm not going to give his call, but when he calls on a DX one, you know, where everyone's piling in, he puts out 2KW. Then once the contact's made, he'll drop that back to 500 watts or 100 watts, K6YNW.
Yeah, and you know, as we were just saying that a little while back here, a few minutes ago anyway, you know, if you're, let's say, you're running 100 watts, then you go to, say, 4, 8, is 8, 1600, which is, that's a little bit too much, but that is 16 times, which is 4 times 4. You're going to actually have two S units going from 100 watts to 1600. So even if you cranked it up illegally, but cranked it up to, say, 2 kW or thereabouts, you're going to get a little bit more out there maybe to get out of the mud, but not that big on the S-unit scale. So it's like the dB thing again. So, you know, don't really know. I guess it helps, but sometimes it's a mental, how do you call it? If you want it to help, you're thinking it's going to help, it's going to help. So anyway, anybody else have any other comments out there on the amps? We'll get into the types of amps in a second. Please come back. All right, and anybody with any questions, anytime, jump right in there. Not a problem. Anyway, Mike, did you I got a couple of things printed up here just to refresh my memory about the classes of amps. We have Class A, Class B, Class C. Basically, been around for a long time. And there's AB, which is, we'll get into that. It's actually a little trickery there. Mike, what do you have to say about the Class A amps? What does it mean? What is a class of an amp? What does that mean?
I'm afraid you're going to have to answer that question. That one I do not know. But I do know that a Class A amplifier, it conducts output current all the way through, all the time, 360 degrees of the cycle. That's one thing that I do know about a Class A amp. But yeah, enlighten me on what the class means.
All right. Basically, and we're not going to talk about the efficiencies. We're going to get into that next. But a Class A is the amplifier. Now, we all think, well, the amplifier is on, it's on. But the Class A is amp is on literally all the time. So anytime there's a signal going through it, you know, it's pumping out, let's say, 800 watts. It's 800 watts going through that last tube or final set of tubes or whatever. The Class B amp, now the tube, is only on for half of the RF cycle. And there's a way they get away with that. Of course, now that the tube's only conducting half the time, it's going to be a lot more efficient. You know, it still has to have some other what's called overhead current going through this thing. It's going to be a little more efficient. Class C, which is the most efficient, because it's on half of the cycle would be 180 degrees. It's only on for about 120, less than 180 degrees. So it's only one-third of the entire signal time the signal's out there, it's turned on. So there's problems with that, though, with these efficiencies. Anyway, Mike, does that ring any bells? Just send it back if it does.
No, we're just scratching the surface. I do know that the more the output of the amplifier current is on, the less efficient it is. And yeah, Class A, they're saying that the maximum efficiency is 50%, and they usually actually run 25 to 30%.
Right, and a Class A amp, let's say, let's say we're going to build an amplifier. Class A amp, of course, has got a couple of neat things. First off, it's not very efficient. That's not a good thing. But the good thing is it's got a very clean output signal. It's biased where it is running completely. We're in its linear area of its curve. If most amps devices, transistors, vacuum tubes, or whatever, they're not completely, linear through the entire range. So they put them in that little section where they're really working good. So the signal coming out is going to be very, almost no distortion. Now, this is really important in audio amps, and it's also very important in ham. What happens when we distort our signal, Michael?
Main thing I can think of is with a distorted signal, you're very hard to hear. You splatter all over the band. All kinds of nasty things like that happen.
Well, that's on the surface. That's just touching it. What happens is you get distortion. Your modulation will still be decent out there, but as you're getting that little bit of distorted sine wave signal going out, whether it be AM or a single sideband, what happens is that you create harmonics. The perfect sine wave has no harmonics. It's pure. If you modify that sine wave, basically now you have harmonics. And one of those harmonics, you're transmitting on everything. It might be reduced, but if you're running, say, 800 watts, you might have 100 watts on one of the harmonics, and that just may not be in the ham band, and that's not good. Any comments on that, Mike?
Yes, you add that together, an antenna that's not resonant or a trap antenna, multi-band antenna, and you could have some problems.
Yeah, roger that. So anyway, now we're going to skip all the way down to the Class C amp, which is, now the Class A amp is very linear, very little distortion. And then the Class C amp is, we want to make it efficient. So we're only going to let it kick on for a little bit, and then we're going to let the signal coast. Now, coasting meaning that you've got a tuned LC circuit on the output. What that does, it kind of smooths that pulse out. It makes it look pretty, but not real pretty. So what happens, you've still got distortion. And unless you filter that, you're going to have the same problem. But it's very efficient. So CW, you do a lot of CW, correct, Michael?
Say I've done CW, and I'm trying to do some more. Yeah, don't they call that the flywheel effect, though, Tom, where your circuit keeps it going, keeps it even, and it evens it out?
In fact, that's a very good analogy there, the flywheel effect, because basically as you push the signal into an LC circuit that's tuned, and this is if your amp is all set up, this is not separate from the amp, it's all internal, what happens is that tuned circuit resonates and actually fills in the gaps between the cycles. So that kind of works. But you still get a little bit of distortion. Now, if you're running CW, it doesn't matter as far as the distortion. You'll still hear the CW. If you're running FM, the amplitude distortion doesn't show up because it's frequency modulated, or actually phased, but we'll call it FM. It's frequency modulated. So you can use a Class C on those too. On any of your stuff you do, is there any power changes that they say that you can do on your K3 between the different modes of modulation?
It's fully adjustable, but factory, it comes factory set to where it is. But yeah, on this rig, it is fully adjustable.
So I guess if I'm going to run CW and my amp, let's say I've got an output tube, pretty one, that'll put out about, say, 400 watts. Now, basically, I can overdrive that a little bit, push it to the limit, because it's only on about a third of the time. And so it's averaging out. It can cool off in that other two-thirds and probably actually go over its limit. I don't recommend doing this. You will definitely wear out your stuff sooner. But that's one of the advantages. So they can be cranked up a little bit. Only using that, but filtering the output. You have to filter that to make sure that you don't get harmonics. And then there's the Class B. Did you happen to see anything there on the Class B, Michael?
No, I know from what I'm reading here that the output current flows on half of the cycle, 180 degrees or half of the cycle of the amplifier, and they can be up to a 65% efficient. And for most applications, the linearity of that Class B amp is acceptable.
Right, and that's usable there. And I think, of course, we have the A and we have the B. There's one that's called the AB. And basically, the Class B amp is actually two devices used in, like say, I'm going to say a mirror mode. One mirrors the other. So that one is on for the first 180 degrees, and the other one comes on the second 180 degrees. And that's how they use a Class B setup as far as that, to still get a very good signal. Each tube is only on, you know, part of the time. So it's a lot more efficient. And AB is simply where it's overlapping the two, so where they cross over, that there's no quick there. And that's pretty much it. I mean, that's amps in a nutshell. Of course, there is a lot more to it than that. But anyway, I would say that amps are a good thing. What if you had a big antenna array and a big amp? I guess that's about the best you're going to do. But, Michael, any comments? Back to you.
There were several questions that I'm aware of that were on the extra class test, so it's something that you really need to know. One that brings to mind is what we were just speaking about, the Class AB amplifier, where current flow is more than 180 and less than 360 degrees. That is one of the many questions that can be asked on that test.
Yeah, roger that. And actually, if a person goes out and buys an amp that's the factory-made, factory-built, like an Amatron, a lot of this is what we're just talking about here. You're really not going to have to worry about it. I mean, this is something that's set up as long as it is operating properly. You shouldn't have any issues, but it's always good to, have your equipment checked out periodically, especially before the FCC checks it out for you. Anyway, any questions out there on the different class of amps and how they work and what they do, please come back to KF6Q.
I got a question about linear amplifier. Are the linear amplifier any different than A, B, or C class that you're talking about? This is KJ6LJF.
Okay, the linear amp is just a general name, classification, and it can be, it can be any one of those three, but generally speaking, it's linear. It's going to be operating without distortion, therefore the nickname linear or linear amp. So essentially, if you've got multiple tubes, probably could be set up, or most likely are set up as Class AB, to keep that signal, you know, true and clean. But if you were actually, if it was ever set up as a Class C, you would have, especially on any AM or a single sideband, it would just, the distortion and the harmonics would be terrible. So basically, that's just a nickname for the basic amp we're talking about here. That's KJ6LJF Arrowhead Bill. Any other questions, please? Come on back there, Bill.
No, I appreciate your response. Thank you very much. KJ6LJF.
All righty. Anybody else out there? Any comments or suggestions or questions? any of the three, please come back. KF6Q.
INW.
LTY.
Okay, in the order, LNW first, and then we'll do LTY. Go ahead. K6LNW.
Okay, most amplifiers have a switch. They don't call it A, B, or C, but they call it CW or AM or single sideband, and it's related to the same thing, K6YW.
Good point there. Yeah, that's we're not really looking into the details of these amps, but obviously because of the mode it's using, then you can switch the efficiency. That's a great thing, obviously, especially the electric rates the way they are. No offense, George. just in case KA6CI weighs it. CIA is still out there listening. Very good point. Christy, KB6LTY, go ahead.
Thank you, Tom. I was just wondering, do amplifiers have to be tuned? You mentioned the tuned LC circuit and the Class C. Depending on the band you're operating on in HF, do they have to be tuned? And that's my question, KB6LTY.
I'm going to say yes and no. Yes, they are tuned from the factory. It's not uncommon to actually follow it up with a antenna tuner, which also acts as a harmonic eliminator. Pretty cool thing, too. And it depends on the amp. A lot of them are plug and play, simple, not a lot to do, but a lot of them, like the Amatrons, will have a couple of, like a plate and a load, if it's a tube, which is, well, one of the Amatrons are tube, if not all. And in the instructions of, you know, that you get with that, or you can get them online, there's the sequence of how to tune that up. And going through that, it's not complex. And as you change frequencies, it's a good idea to readjust that. So that makes it a little more complex, I guess, if you're jumping around the bands. But if you're going to work one band a lot, you probably wouldn't have to do a lot. There are setups where people have one amp per band and not as much money as they used to. Anyway, does that help at all, Christy?
Yes, it does. Thanks, Tom. KB6LTY.
All righty. Are there any other questions or comments out there? Please come back. KF6Q.
LAN.
KD6LAN. Boulder Bay Bill. Go ahead.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, then if you have an amplifier for, let's say, 2 meter band, it will work on other bands, let's say 440, 220, so on and so forth?
No. A lot of the amps that are for the HF band, which is, let's say, below 50 megacycles, actually more like below 28 megacycles, you're going to, you know, they're going to work. They're going to work probably for the entire ham radio bands from the 160 meter all the way up to the 10 meter. Now, when you start getting into VHF and UHF, there is a limit because as you get into higher frequencies, you get into a lot more complex amps, more expensive amps, and you can buy one that'll work, let's say, at 440. It'll probably work on the 220 band or the 2 meter band, and that's just a shot from the hip on that. But there's no sense of paying triple for an amp to have it work on 2 meter when you might use it on 440. So on the VHF and UHF bands, yeah, they're going to get a little bit more specific. The lower bands, not as much. Pretty much will work on all the HF bands. I hope that helps.
Yeah, you just answered what I thought was the right question or right answer anyway. So, okay, thank you much. 86, I am.
Okay, Bill, and a little comment there, too, about 2-meter amps. There's a lot of, well, not a lot, but there's a few out there in the market. Let's say if you're going cross-country and you've got a 50-watt mobile, or maybe you've only got a 5-watt mobile, and these amps will boost it from, say, 50 watts to 150 watts. Now, that's three times as much. Going to get you almost a full S unit. Not a lot. Might get you to where you got to go. Now, if you can buy the same company offers that same amp that'll boost it from 5 watts up to 150 watts, much more gain going from 5 to 150 than that, just 150 to, you know, from 50. And it is a lot more expensive. It's just about double. So you will be getting what you paid for, and you will be paying for what you get in both ways there. So anyway, but yeah, there's sometimes they're good to have if you need that extra boost, and that might be getting you out of a hole that you can't get out of. Any other questions or comments out there, please come back, KF6Q. Alrighty, well, good little topic to this evening, I think, is amps, and we'll move forward on probably some of our other projects we got coming up. Some of our workshops will be happening. We'll make sure we announce those as they come due. However, just when we thought we had all the spring weather hitting us, I think we're going to get a little snow. But anyway, Mike, anything else out there in closing? Anything you'd like to add? Please come back there, Mr. Mike, WB6CLZ.
Everybody's heard my QRP speech, so I won't bore anybody with that. No, pretty good topic. Very interesting. Learned some things I didn't know, and that's always cool. Refresh this old brain of mine. Okay, back to you, Tom. Everything good topic tonight. KF6Q, WB6CLZ.
Alrighty, as we get into closing here, anybody else out here before we close the net? Any questions or comments or suggestions? Please come back. KF6Q.
YNW.
LTY.
Okay, YNW first. Go ahead.
Yep. Particularly like 2 meters, talking about an amplifier. About the same price, you can probably get a 8-element beam or something. And also, you'll hear better as well as get out better. K6YNW.
Yeah, in fact, that's why we do discuss so much about antennas, is a little bit of this or that with the antenna can give you a lot of what we call free power on both ways, input and output. Dual reciprocity, that's it. Yeah, that's the word I was trying to get out. And it works great. The money spent, and you know what? You don't have a power cord going to it. It's all around pretty good there, so. Anyway, yes, Christy, go ahead.
Well, Chris was reading my mind. I guess I wanted to make a little more specific comment about that. I listened to folks on HF that sound like they have, big, loud voices but small ears, so to speak. I know you'd talk to that about repeaters, but it's true on some of these HF stations. They're putting out a huge signal, but they can't hear. And so they're causing, some interference that they don't know that they're causing. And I think sometimes it's attributed to probably they've got a huge amplifier and their antenna's not matching their capabilities. So anyway, that's just a comment. Thanks, Tom. Good net, KB6LTY.
Thank you very much for that compliment on the net. You know, and this is one thing that is, it's very common as a lot of, and I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of hams out there that are pushing all that power definitely want to be heard and don't really care that much to listen, even though they think they are, but they're not. Now, a good preamp and some good switching on the input can help complement that amplifier, you know, with input gain. And you know, that's a helpful thing there too. The good balance, of course, is just a good antenna. And it's so fascinating how much an antenna difference will make. Now, if you have a say a good or great antenna and a good preamp and say just a moderate power amp out there, you probably have a very good combination going there. So keep in mind, as you let's say your antenna has 6 dB gain, that's in and out. You've got four times, let's say if you're talking with 100 watts, your effective power going out is 400 watts. So that's, you know, that's good. You're probably getting out better with a good antenna, especially if you get up to 6, 8, maybe even 10 or 10 dB gain or better. So anyway, good comment there. Yes, and unfortunately, it's just the way it is, so can't do much about it. Anybody else out there in closing, any comments or suggestions? Please come back. Alrighty, anybody want to talk about tomato gardening? No, just kidding. Had to throw that in there, Mr. AS6DJ. Alrighty, well, we're going to close the net down for this evening. QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 1900 hours, 58 minutes. And returning the repeater to normal use, I would like to thank everyone for listening in and participating. Hope everybody out there gained a little bit from this stuff this evening. And if you do have a subject you would like to hear about, drop us an email, either one to Mike or one to myself, at our call sign, minus KF6Q at ARRL.net for an email, or at Mike at WB6CLZ at ARRL.net. And we'll dig up some stuff on it. Thanks again for everybody joining us, and we'll see you next week. KF6Q, and I'll be clear standing by.